Jesus, thou art all compassion. We're unbound at love, thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh, breathe thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee, that second rest. Take away our bent to sin. Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as it. Set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver. Let us all thy receive. Suddenly return and never more thy temples leave. May we with thee always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns.
Men, if you would stand with me as we sing. Angels we have heard on high. There it is.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the tidings be which inspire heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. In excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee
Christ the Lord of Israel.
Gloria in excelsis Deo. See within a manger, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, Mary, Joseph, lingerie, with us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. In excelsis Deo.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Yeah, I so appreciate that video projector for a lot of reasons. One is,
There's a lot of Christmas songs that are just not in our hymn book. And it opens up a whole new variety of Christmas songs. Right, Faye?
Yes.
Amen. That's right. Exactly. Amen. And there's not just Christmas songs, but all kinds of songs. And praise the Lord for that. Jerry was a big part of doing the research for that and getting it up there and making it work. And that's a wonderful blessing. Appreciate that. Amen. It's been working good for a long time, and we like it that way. That's a blessing. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1, if you would, please. Luke chapter 1. Or excuse me, Luke chapter 2, I apologize. Verse 1. Today, the title is Know and Make Known. And that's really the focus of our ministry and should be the focus of every biblical church and every biblical Christian is to know the Lord through faith and through His Word and through salvation and then make Him known. What we learn, we need to declare. And just like the model that the shepherds display for us here, they knew truth through the angels declaring the message of God. And then they went and saw that truth, experienced it personally for themselves. And once they experienced it personally for themselves, they went and made it known. And that's the way we ought to be all the time, is knowing God more through His Word and through His worship. And then making Him known to those around us. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, God's Word says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. Notice this verbiage here. We're going to talk about this morning. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this text of Scripture as we look at it once again to learn more about this Christmas season and the festivity of it and the point of it all. Lord, just like the pastor's paragraph says, help us not to miss the point of it all. Lord, sometimes we miss the forest for the trees. Lord, help us not to be that way with Christmas. Help us not to be so caught up in the decorations and the gift buying and the wrapping and the meal preparations and the festivities and all the trappings that have come to be associated with this season and miss the whole point. It's you and your Son Jesus coming to earth to be the Savior. Help us not to miss the joy of the Lord being our strength. Help us not to miss the peace of with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Help us not to miss the good tidings that the coming of Jesus brings to us. That is clearly declared in your word. Help us not to miss the main point. Lord, work in our hearts today as we look into your word. Help us to be like the shepherds. Help us to be people of faith like the shepherds. Help us to be people of action like the shepherds. Help us to be people who witness personally and declare publicly like the shepherds. Help us to follow the example of these humble workers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad he came?
Amen.
You know, in the fact that he is God, he did know everything that was going to happen. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
He came anyway. Yes, ma'am. Amen.
It's just a blessing.
God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, you're a blessing here as well. We're glad you found us so we could find you.
Amen.
And you know, really, I'm glad that Lillian felt compelled to do that because her story really fits into the message today. She's here today because people talked to her.
Amen.
The first people to talk to her about this church were the Grosses, Sandy and Greg. But it was Pastor Steve going door to door on her street and going through the plan of salvation, making sure she was saved, and she was. And then him offering to be a help to her any way he could.
Amen.
And I think his boys went and mowed her grass or something. Yeah. And but that's why she came, because people kept asking her. Not the first one that asked her didn't come, but after more people kept asking her, she came. And she's been coming ever since, and it's a blessing. You know, I love this part of this story. You know, there are some what we would call full-time servants of the Lord that are part of the Christmas story. Simeon, who was a worker in the temple. Zacharias, who was a worker in the temple. Anna, the widow, who was a worker in the temple. There's a lot of people that were part of the Christmas story that were full-time servants of the Lord, like a pastor or a missionary. But they're not the only ones involved in this story.
Amen.
The angels definitely are full-time servants of the Lord. Amen. And they're a big part of this story. And we've looked at them already in their message. But today, I want to look at some common people. They aren't full-time servants of the Lord. They didn't go to Bible college. They weren't trained in the school of the prophets. They weren't servants in the temple. They were just workers. They were shepherds. They were just day-to-day work folk. But they are a centerpiece in the Christmas story. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, but I love how the message of Christmas, even in the Bible narrative, is to all people.
Amen.
From the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, to the wise men who are very wealthy. And everybody in between, from the full-time servants of the Lord to the people just doing their jobs on the side of a hill.
Yeah.
It's to all people. In fact, it even says that in the narrative.
Right.
To all people. And I want to focus our attention today on those shepherds. And I highlighted those thoughts when I read through it. But remember, it was the angel singular that came to the shepherds. And then after he told them what they would find, then it was the host of angels that were singing praises to the Lord of glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But in verse 15, it says, after the angels were gone away, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made unto us. And because they had that motivation, they didn't just listen and sit.
Yeah.
They listened and acted in faith. And because they listened to the truth and they acted upon the truth, they experienced the reality of the truth in their life. It says in the next verse, they came with haste. They were motivated. This wasn't something they were passive about. This is something they were passionate about.
Yeah.
And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, just like it was told them. They found it just like they were told. And when they had seen it personally, they left there and made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning Christ. They not only took what they saw and experienced, they took what they heard and they declared it. What they had heard and seen, they declared to others.
Yeah.
And everybody didn't buy in. So we shouldn't be shocked when everybody we talk to about Jesus doesn't accept it.
Yeah.
It says, and all they that heard it, all they that heard it. It kind of gives the idea that a lot of people heard it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking whoever they saw heard it.
Yeah.
All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Can you imagine shepherds preaching a message? Who are these guys?
Yeah.
What in the world has happened to them? These guys are shepherds. What are they doing talking about prophecy being fulfilled and all of this? They're not Pharisees. They're not scribes. They're not Sadducees. They're not teachers of the synagogues. They're just shepherds. But they had a message and they had an experience that impacted their life. And when they communicated that message with the passion of their personal experience, it got people's attention. They wondered at what was told them. You know, most people you talk to about the Lord aren't going to get saved the first time you talk to them. And if they're entrenched in some false religion or some cult, it's going to take a while to get them to change their thinking. But I'm telling you, if you can get them to wonder about what you're saying, wonder about the truth of what the Bible says versus the teaching of their religion, you've accomplished a great task. Just to make them wonder about it. You've got the seed planted in their heart. You've got the ball rolling. You've got the momentum started in the right direction. But it starts with making it known. Well, actually, it starts before that. Knowing it personally. Followed up by making it known. And that's what I want to focus our attention on today. Notice the statement by the shepherds. Let us go, or let us now go and see. Let us now go and see. And notice they said, let us now go and see that which has come to pass. See this thing which is come to pass. Notice the statement there. Is come to pass. It's a statement of faith. They believed the message that the angels gave to them. They believed it so much they acted upon it. See, they believed what was told them. And they believed that it was a message from God and it was true. They didn't just say, well, these angels can't put much stock in what they got to say. I want to hear from God speaking. No, they accepted the fact these angels were sent from God and the message they gave was from God and it was true. Truly God's Word.
Good preaching here.
See, when we come to church and we hear a message, we don't need to be skeptics and we don't need to be naysayers. We need to believe that the messenger has received a message from God and he is preaching, thus saith the Lord. And especially when it's right in the Bible, it's kind of hard to argue with that.
Amen.
Right.
Very good.
I was talking to a preacher this week and he was talking about a fella that just is challenging to him. Every Sunday he's critiquing the message. Every Sunday he's fault finding. Every Sunday it's the same thing. And it's just really discouraging. And I said, you know, brother, I've been there. I will pray for you. I've experienced that. You know, these shepherds did not do that. Well, Angel, hey, I got a question for you. I'm not sure about what you're saying here. Is it really from God? Is it really true? No, that wasn't their attitude. Their attitude was, this is God's Word.
Amen.
And we need to obey it. We need to follow it. We need to do it. They acted upon it with faith. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask questions if you have questions. In fact, every time I do a membership interview, I just shared that with Sister Lillian. I said, if you ever have a question about a message or anything, maybe something just doesn't sound right, what you're used to or whatever, feel free to ask. I'm more than happy to answer questions. That's different than an attitude of criticism and negativism and divisiveness. That's totally different. But it says these angels, they believed what was told them by that it was from God. It was true. They believed it, that it was a message from God. They believed that it was God's Word, not merely the angels' words. You know, there's a lot of people that don't believe we have God's Word today. And maybe in their version of the Bible, they don't. I don't know. They're missing some. I know that much. But I'm so glad that I believe that we have the preserved Word of God in our hands right here. Not a facsimile of it, not a close replica of it. We have the preserved Word of God right here. And I believe, I'm so thankful that we have a church that it makes a statement on that belief.
Amen. Oh boy.
I don't have to wonder if this is God's Word. I don't have to wonder if this is what God said. I don't have to wonder if this is what actually happened on the hillside in near Bethlehem. I don't have to wonder that. God said that He would give us His Word. He would preserve His Word. And I believe He's done that. And I don't have to worry about that. There's a lot of people say if you don't know Greek and Hebrew, you really don't have, you can't know the Bible. That's just false.
That's right.
If they're right, God's wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put my money on God every time.
Amen.
God promised He would keep His Word to every generation.
Amen.
And I believe He's done that. I believe my God's big enough to do that.
Oh, boy.
If you don't think your God's big enough to do that, my advice is get a new God.
Yeah.
You might want to start with the God of the Bible. Because He's big enough to do what He says He's going to do. And I'm so glad He's done that. See, they believed it was God's Word, not the angel's words. They believed that it really happened. And they could go see it personally. These guys are not, you know, they're not show me and I'll believe it. They are, I heard it, I believe it, let's go see it. That was their attitude. I mean, some people would read this and say, these shepherds, they're kind of skeptics and they got to go see it for themselves. No, I don't believe that for a minute. Notice what they said. Let us go see what is come to pass, what the angels made known to us. They believed what they heard was true and it happened and they could go see it for themselves. They're not skeptics. They're not naysayers. They're not from Missouri and say, I've got to see it before I believe it. The show me state, you know what I'm talking about? That little, you know, that little application just kind of went over somebody's head right there.
Yeah.
Missouri, show me state. Show it to me, I'll believe it. Anybody from Missouri here? Oh yeah, there we go. All right. I thought so. He's not like that though. These shepherds didn't have to see it to believe it. They heard it and they believed it and they acted upon it.
Yeah.
That's the way we need to be. See, they believed it enough to act obediently to it and go to the Bethlehem and see it for themselves.
Yes.
And that's what we need in Somerville Baptist Church. That's what we need in Christendom on earth today. We need people who believe God's Word enough to act upon God's Word.
Right.
They didn't put it off. They didn't say, well, you know, these angels told us this great news, but hey, you know what? I've worked all day. I'm kind of tired. Let me get some shut-eye. I'll wake up early in the morning, then I'll go into Bethlehem and see this thing. They didn't do that. They didn't put it off.
Yeah.
I believe with all my heart, there are people sitting in churches and messages from God's Word being preached with the power of the Holy Spirit and the passion of a preacher that has spent time in the Word and seeing what God has for them. And they hear the message and the Spirit of God speaks to their heart and they don't do anything with it. And you're grieving the Spirit when you do that. I've said in invitations many times, the only person who doesn't want you to act on what God's spoken to your heart about is Satan. And I believe that with all my heart.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of Christians in a lot of churches, maybe even in this church, that walk out and the only person happy with their response to the Word of God is Satan, not the Lord. We need to act upon what we hear. We need to put it into practice. They did not delay and procrastinate. They acted immediately. They didn't wait for a more convenient time. If there's anything that's killing American Christianity, convenience is one of them.
Yeah.
I think doing what I want and trying to find a church that fits what I want is another part of it, instead of looking at what the Bible actually says.
That's right.
There's a lot of people, when they go looking for a church, they're not looking for a church that preaches the Word. They're looking for a church that makes them feel comfortable. I love to hear when people come here and they say, I like the preaching and I feel welcomed here and that's what keeps me coming. I love to hear that.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that aren't looking for preaching. They're looking for make me feel comfortable in my life the way it is because I don't want to change anything. I'm just looking for a church that accepts it.
Yeah.
See, these guys did not procrastinate. They didn't put it off. They didn't wait for a more convenient time. I don't know what time of night these angels showed up. All I know, it was night and it was dark. Can you imagine these shepherds working all day? Got their little fire going there. Laying down. Ready to get some shut-eye? All of a sudden, this bright light shines in the sky and kind of ruins their serenity.
Yeah.
And then they hear this message. And then a whole bunch more bright lights show up in the sky and make a big bunch of noise. Can you imagine how ludicrous it would have been to say, "Well, that's nice, but I'm too tired to go to Bethlehem right now"?
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
The greatest event in all of history has taken place just a few miles away from where you are, and you're not excited enough by this spectacular display of God's message to you to act on it? Of course, that's ridiculous, isn't it? But it happens all the time by Christians. Not only in churches where they hear the message of God, but even reading the Bible on their own. Saying, "I know it says that, but it doesn't really mean that." No, let's get back to saying, "It says it, therefore I ought to do it."
Amen.
See, that's what they did. What the angel said, I need to do. See, they did not go to see it to believe it. They went because they believed it enough to go. There's a big difference. See, they experienced the truth of God's message personally by obeying the word that was given to them. In John 13, Jesus makes a very interesting statement. He says, in verse 15, he says, "For I have given you an example." This is right after he washed the disciples' feet. You remember when he did that? He did that when they were celebrating the Passover, before he instituted the Last Supper, before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was arrested, before he was taken to the palace and he was tried, before he was taken to Golgotha and crucified, before he was put in the tomb and he rose 3 days later. Before all of that, this is happening here. This is hours before his crucifixion. The book of John, the middle portion chapters, there's several chapters that take place during those hours leading up to the crucifixion. And this is one of them. This is on the night before he was crucified. He says, "I have given you an example." He's talking about washing their feet. "That ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Basically, what Jesus is saying, if I am your Lord and your rabbi, your teacher, your master, and I've humbled myself and washed your feet and served you, you're not greater than I am. Therefore, you ought to serve one another. You ought to be willing to humble yourself. And then he says this in verse 17. "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them."
Yeah.
You know the grumpiest Christians I've ever met? Disobedient ones. You know the happiest Christians I've ever met? Humble servants that are obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
They both have trials. They both have difficulties. They both have things that don't go their way. They both have hardships. They both have challenges, but they just respond to him differently. Jesus says you got to know these things first, but you'll be happy if you do them. Why is it that you'll be happy if you do them? Well, there's a lot of blessing involved with obedience, and there's a lot of personal experience that only comes from doing what God tells you to do. See, when we obey what God says in His Word, we have a better life. We just do. Living God's way is a whole lot better than living our human way. Living God's way is a whole lot better than living the world's way. Living God's way is a ton better than living Satan's way. Amen? See, it's just a better life to live God's way. Take the spiritual out of it. Somebody was telling me, "What if you're wrong?" I was witnessing to a guy and he says, "What if you're wrong? What if all this is just a hoax? What if you're wrong? I said, so what? What have I lost? What have I lost? I haven't lost anything. Except for more consequences of sin than I already have. I don't need more of that. More challenges in life because of messes I make. I don't need more of that. I've got enough of that. More scars of sin. I don't need any more of those. What have I lost? I haven't lost anything. And then I looked him in the eye and says, but what if I'm right and you're wrong? What have you lost? You've lost everything. For all of eternity. I'm willing to take my risk over your risk. Living God's way is just a better way to live. You know, I don't have to worry about somebody knocking on my door saying, guess who this is? It's your baby. I never have had to worry about that a day in my life. You know why? There's only one woman I've ever had sex with. One.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about anybody coming to me and saying, this is your baby. Or even a bigger one and say, this is your child from way back. I don't have to worry about that. It's a better way to live. God's way is a better way to live. You know, I've never, ever, ever worried about having some kind of venereal disease. Never. Never even crossed my mind. What if I caught something? Never thought about that. It's a better way to live.
Amen.
I'm not worried about addictions. It's just a better way to live. It's just a better way to live. I don't have to go outside to do something I can't do inside a building. It's just a better way to live. God's way is a better way to live.
Amen.
Right.
See, when we obey what God says, we experience God's blessings in a greater way. We just do. God blesses obedience. It's that simple. Look through the Scripture. It's all over the place. God blesses obedience. And if you continue in disobedience, guess what God does?
Oh boy.
Right? Anybody ever been spanked by the Lord? My hand's up. I'll be honest. But the blessings of God are a whole lot better than the spankings of God, right? I've experienced both. I'm here to tell you the blessings of God are better. See, being obedient is better with the blessings of God. And when we obey what God says, we have more joy, more happiness, and less grief and guilt. You know, when I don't obey God and I look at myself in the mirror, I feel a whole lot different than when I do obey God and look at myself in the mirror. Amen? The man in the mirror. When I have a clear conscience, I'm happier with the man in the mirror than when I know things aren't right. And I can't imagine you're much different. You know why? Because we're human. See, God's way is a better way. See, that, and they said, that which the Lord hath made known unto us, let us go now and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us. You know, God thought it was a big enough deal to let us know about it. We ought to make it a big enough deal to do something about it. Amen? That's how we ought to be. If God took the time to tell me about it and write it down and preserve it so I have it today, I ought to care enough about it to look at it and read it and find out about it.
Amen.
I ought to care enough to know about it. If God cared about me enough to send His Son from heaven to earth to live a sinless life, to hang on a cross, to have the union between the Father and Son severed because of my sin, if He cared enough about that to do that for me, I ought to care enough about that to not only experience it, but tell people about it.
Amen.
If it's important enough for Him to make me know about it, I ought to make it important enough for me to make other people know about it. See, these angels, These shepherds, were impacted by the dramatic event that took place. God cared enough about me. I ought to do something about this. See, we must listen to God's Word before we can believe God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right?
Yeah.
What's the first step? Faith? No. Hearing.
Right.
You can hear it by reading it yourself. You can hear it by hearing a message. You can hear it by being in a Bible study. You can hear it by listening to a good preacher on the word on the radio or the TV. There's not a whole lot of good ones, but there's some good ones out there.
Yeah.
Be selective. But the bottom line is we got to hear it. Before we're going to believe it, we've got to hear it. Before we're going to believe it enough to act on it, we've got to hear it. Before we're going to obey it, we've got to hear it. It starts with hearing it. See, we must listen to God's Word. We must listen to it so we can believe it, so we can obey it, and so we can follow it. So we can be blessed because of following it. But it starts with listening to it.
Amen.
Did you come today to listen? I hope so. I hope you came to listen to God, not me. I don't want you to come listen to me. I really don't. I want you to come listen to God. It really doesn't matter who's behind the pulpit. If you're coming to God's house, you ought to come be listening to God's Word and God's Spirit speaking to your heart. Come listen to God. Regardless of who the messenger is delivering the message of God, come to listen to God. But it starts with listening. We'll never change if we don't listen. We'll never get saved if we don't listen. We'll never grow in holiness if we don't listen. Everything starts with listening. See, they went to check it out for themselves to see it personally, not to believe it. Their belief motivated them to go see it. See, they were not going because they didn't believe and they were trying to make sure. They went because they did believe. They just wanted to know more about it. See, they were going because they did believe and they wanted to know more personally and experience it. You know, in Acts chapter 17, Paul is being snuck out of Thessalonica because the Jews are trying to cohort to kill him. And the believers there said, "Hey, Paul, you got to get out of here." So he went to Berea. And he found in Berea people, it says in Acts chapter 17, it says, "These in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." A whole bunch of people got saved. You know why? Because they were students of this book.
Amen.
And all they needed was some guy to come say, "Hey, you want to know how all that fits together? This is how. Jesus is the key."
Amen.
And many of them believed. Because they believed this book, and they searched this book, and they wanted to know this book more. We need to be like the believers, the people in Berea. We need to be like the shepherds on the hillside. See, that which they had seen, they made known abroad. That which they had heard from the angels, that which they had seen, they made it known. They did not keep this message to themselves. You know, people talk about faith. It's just really personal. It ought to be private. The Bible knows nothing about private faith. It does know about personal faith, but it does not tell you to keep it to yourself. It says, make it known. You say, "Well, what about when Jesus told those people not to make it known?" Yeah. That was when the story was unfolding. What did Jesus say right before he went up into heaven? Make it known. Right? The story's completed now. Make it known. You better read the whole Bible and not pick and don't cherry pick the verses you're going to obey. Well, Jesus told the disciples not to tell. Tell the vision to no man. Yeah, read the rest of the story. Go to the end of the gospel. Every one of them end the same way. Jesus telling us, go out there, tell everything you know. To whoever's willing to listen.
Very good.
We need to read the rest of the story. See, they did not keep this great event to themselves. God doesn't want to keep it private. He wants to make it public. See, they weren't worried about the response of people that they told. That did not cross their mind. The Bible says all they that heard it wondered at the things that were told them. They were not worried about the response of the people they told. Zero. Thought did not cross their mind. You know why? I'll tell you why. They were so impacted by what they seen and heard, it didn't matter.
Right.
It didn't matter if people didn't understand. It didn't matter if people made fun of them. It didn't matter if people rejected it. It didn't matter if people said, "You guys are a bunch of crazy shepherds." It didn't matter. They were not worried about the response of other people. They were so excited about what they had seen and heard. It didn't matter. Right? So what's our excuse today? Why does it matter so much that people might reject us? Why does it matter so much that people might make fun of us? Young people, don't think you're the only ones that are affected by peer pressure. There's no age limit on peer pressure. Why does it matter so much to us today? I don't know. God picks shepherds here, right? It wasn't hard for them to be humble. They had a humble job already. Maybe that's the issue. I don't know. You have to search your heart. I have to search my heart. But it's something to think about. See, when we're not worried about what others think or say, it really frees us up, doesn't it? Humility, that helps. Might have helped. I think it might have helped the shepherds. It probably helps us too. How about, see, they said, not only let us go and see, but after they went and saw, they said, let us go and say. See, in verse 17, in the passage, they said, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Look at verse 20. It says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen as it was told them. See, the saying that which was told them concerning this child, they went and they did not say anything about themselves other than the fact of what they had heard and what they had seen. Their focus was on Jesus. They were not that significant. Jesus was. That was their message. It wasn't me, 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 me. It was Jesus, 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 Jesus. God sent some angels to tell us about Jesus. God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. God sent us Messiah. Go and find Him. Go and see Him. You can see Him just like we did. He's in a manger in Bethlehem. You can go see it for yourself. We need to be more like that. We need to tell people what we know about Jesus. See, they were causing people to wonder at what the shepherds had told them. We need to cause people to wonder. We need to tell people about when we got saved. Make them wonder. We need to show them things in Scripture that point them to Jesus, just to make them wonder about it. You got a friend that's involved in a cult. One thing all cults have in common, they don't believe in the deity of Jesus.
Yeah.
Every cult is the same on that. They don't believe in the deity of Jesus.
Right.
They may believe in the deity of Mary, but they don't believe in the deity of Jesus.
Oh.
Every cult's the same. Just talk to them about the deity of Jesus and make them wonder. Every cult accepts Jesus as a living creature, but they don't accept Him as the Son of God.
Yeah.
Or even if they accept Him as the Son of God because He's a spirit being like everybody else is, they don't believe Him and accept Him as God in the flesh when He came and was born.
Yeah.
Just talk to them about the deity of Jesus. Make them wonder. That's all the shepherds did. Told people about Jesus. And people wondered about it. See, we need to be like the shepherds, honoring God for letting them know. It says they returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that God had made known unto them, how they had seen it, heard it, and seen it. See, they returned back to their sheep, back to their livelihood. They returned back to their life, their normal life. But they weren't normal anymore. They had been impacted and changed. They went back to taking care of sheep. They went back to their job. But now they were different. See, they returned back to their normal lives, what they had before, but now they were different. They had turned back to their livelihood that they had before, but they had been changed. They returned back to what they were doing before this event took place, but now they were different because of what they had seen and heard. And they went back after the impact that they had received from God's message and what they had seen and heard. See, they returned glorifying God for all that they had experienced with God. All the things they had heard from those angels, the messengers of God. All the things they had seen for themselves because they believed what they heard. And they went and they acted upon it. And they saw it personally. They experienced it personally. They experienced it. They were changed. Now they were glorifying God in a greater way. All the things that were told them, it changed them. That's the way we need to be when we come to the house of God, when we come to the Word of God. We need to listen. We need to listen so much that we hear God speak to our hearts and believe what God says and do what God says and leave different than when we came.
Yeah.
These shepherds were different. They were different people than they were when they sat down on that hillside that night. Because of what they saw, what they heard, what they experienced at the presence of Jesus, they were different. You know what the world needs to see in Christians today? People who are becoming more and more different all the time because of their experience with God working in their life. See, they returned praising God for making this known to them. God made it known to them through the messengers, the angels. God made it known to them through His Word, the message that was given. God made known to them through the truth of prophecy that was fulfilled. God made it known to them through their presence with Jesus and the impact that He had on their lives. We need to make it known what we experience with the Lord in our lives. We need to make it known. We need to praise God and make it known. Let it impact us. You say, Pastor, okay, so what? What now? Well, here's a challenge to think about. Let us go and do the same. Just be like some humble shepherds. Just be obedient. First of all, listen to what God says. Be obedient to what God says. And tell people about what God tells us. And don't care about what their response might be. Because we're just humble servants of the Lord. See, we need to see it for ourselves, the reality of God's truth. You cannot tell people what you don't experience. You cannot tell convincingly what you do not know personally. You can't pass along third-person faith. It's got to be first-person. It's got to be yours. And when God impacts you, that impact ought to impact others. The shepherds knew the reality of Jesus being Christ. They knew it. They were convinced. The angels made them know it. Going and seeing it made them know it. They experienced it personally for themselves. And they knew it. So they made it known. What do you know for sure? Without a doubt.
Very good.
What do you know about forgiveness of sin? Without a doubt. What do you know about God as your Heavenly Father without a doubt? What do you know about a home in heaven without a doubt? What do you know about the Spirit of God living within you without a doubt? What do you know about the Word of God speaking to you without a doubt? If you say not much, my suggestion is know some more.
Yeah.
And know it personally. But if your answer is a lot, my suggestion is make it known.
Yeah.
Say it to others. Say to others what you have seen and what you have heard about God's truth. There's several verses there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and 1 John. You know what they all have in common? The Great Commission. What you have seen and heard, go and tell. You say, oh, I've read that before, Pastor. Okay. Promise you it won't hurt you to read it again. Because if every Christian at Somerville Baptist Church would do what the shepherds did, we would saturate this valley with the gospel a whole lot quicker.
Amen.
We would never have to worry about what we're going to give to missionaries.
That's right.
We've got to know it.
Yeah.
For sure. No doubt about it. We've got to make it known to others. You know why? It's the will of God.
Right.
No way of getting around it. You cannot sugarcoat it. You cannot cut it and dice it and slice it and change it to be what you want it to be. It is what it is. It is the will of God for every believer to know the truth and make it known.
Yeah.
It's the will of God. There's only two responses to the will of God. Obedience and disobedience. That's it. There's no middle ground.
Right.
It's either obey or disobey. The shepherds chose to obey.
Yeah.
What will your choice be today? Mm-hmm. Remember, I started this message about only one person wanting you to put off what God speaks to your heart about. That is Satan.
Yeah.
You came here to worship God. I believe that with all my heart. Don't leave here worshiping Satan by not obeying what God speaks to your heart about. If you're not sure 100% about your faith, your salvation, your forgiveness of sin, your home in heaven, don't put it off. Today's a great day to be saved.
Amen.
If you know you're saved, but you're not obeying the Lord like the shepherds did, make a decision today to change that this week. And take some tracts with you as you go out and tell people about Jesus. Let's pray.